Welcome to episode 143 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach, and I'm joined as always by fellow Run to PB coach and to chat all things running, Zach Newman. How are you, mate?
Going well, Chris. So, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. A bit tongue-tied, if I'm being honest. I reckon I butchered that opening. I'll probably give myself a good 3 out of 10 for that, but that's okay. That's the beauty of having done 143 episodes. I get to have another crack next week. So.
Well, yeah, usually I think your issue was you didn't go with, you know, pumping my tires up and just trying to get the extra kudos from the
maybe next week, although I hear you've got some good news to report on that front too. Things were a bit bleak last week. There wasn't many Ks sort of trotted out, but there's been some progress. We've got some running to report on.
Yeah, we got a bit of an update from your training. We've got my as James Telford referred to, the people's path. So we can chat about that. We have a bit of world record chat. It's been missing for a little while, mate. Canadian, there's been a bit going on in Canada, and we have something to talk about there, which is well, we've got polar opposites, really, in a couple of those set in the records we're going to chat about.
We do. It's, just coming out of the colder months of the year there, and there's been a few stories brewing over in Canada. That's, so looking forward to digging a bit deeper on these, because I think it's something we need to go into a bit more detail on.
Yeah, it is. It is. Mate, we've got two guests joining us tonight as well, and this is the first time I reckon that we've had two people go under the spotlight and take on your quick fire questions, mate.
Well, I think same time. The athlete interviews have proved to be really popular, to the point where we're actually going to try and do two at the same time tonight. So a bit nervous about how it might all flow, but yeah, looking forward to having a chat to two absolute legends. I'm sure regular listeners will have heard these names a few times on the potty, but looking forward to meeting them and having a good chat, and hopefully we can I guess learn a little bit more and find out some special recipes as well.
Yes, absolutely. I know you'll be definitely on their case to shout out some recipes, post photos. I know Mr. Telford, he followed up and followed through with a picture of the muffin on the weekend. So that was cool.
Mate, the Physio Life muffin, or the Telford muffin, I'm not sure of the actual official name, but the bacon and egg combo with the sauce, I tell you what, it looked $1 million. When that rolled across my screen on Saturday morning, just on my way to the supermarket, you can rest assured that there was some bacon and eggs found their way into the trolley shortly thereafter.
A lot of kudos. That guy breaks Strava most weeks when he's descriptions and photos he's throwing in there. So just up in the game a little bit. Mate, talking about up in the game, we've got a race coming up for you at Bendigo soon. So cross country, we'll talk about whether I'll be towing the line against you a little bit later. But you're firing on all cylinders, mate. 73Ks for the week, it looks like.
Yeah, no, I think things are looking pretty good, I reckon. Looking good for me anyway. 73Ks for the week. Managed to do a session on a Thursday, which once again, we mentioned it after Gels Park, that typically a full session for me within a week of a race is a bit of a novelty. But we've got another one in. And a pretty decent long run as well. So session, first time having a go at some Telford fartlek. And James was pretty chuffed to see that I did a session named after him when he flashed up on Strava. He managed to slide into the comments very quickly. I think within about 5 minutes of me uploading it, he was all over it. But should clarify, that would be named after a Mr. Dick Telford.
OAM, I think he is.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Legendary coach.
He is the legendary coaching, run coaching Hall of Fame, coach of Lisa Waitman and Michael Shelley.
Mm.
But,
AIS sports scientist,
coaching Hall of Fame, like, yeah, you name it. He's sort of done it. And this is one of his sessions that he gives his athletes. So for those that haven't heard of it or haven't done it, it's 1 by 4 minutes, 2 by 3 minutes, 3 by 2, and 4 by 1 minutes, all with a minute jog recovery. And I guess the idea of the session is usually to try and do it at whatever event you've got coming up. So, what's that sort of intensity? So if you've got a 10K, then you do your efforts at 10K effort. Half marathon, then you might do them at half marathon effort with a float recovery. Same thing with a marathon. But yeah, try to roll the efforts at 10K and jog the recoveries. And I felt really good. I don't think the numbers are going to blow anyone away or make anyone sit up and take notice. Like, I ran a bit under 8K for the session, averaged 350s for the whole thing. But yeah, like the efforts were all in a similar pace range to what I ran or what I averaged at Lakeside for the 10K there, and just tried to relax during the recoveries and pulled up feeling pretty good. Definitely knew I'd done something, but myself and Anna both had a go at that one. And it was nice to do the same session from a coaching perspective anyway, because I guess I was having a look at her data and comparing that to I guess where she would be at or where I think she might be at for a 10K or a half. And she tends to float her recoveries a bit more, whereas I tend to jog them. So it was interesting having a chat to her afterwards and we're having a look. And across the session, she was about 7 or 8 seconds on average for the session away, like per K away from her sort of PB pace, whereas I was about 14 or 15.
Okay.
And yeah, and it was good. Just having a chat around, you know, how it felt, how she pulled up, and I guess how strong she felt throughout it. So, yeah, and then sort of comparing that to my session. And yeah, it was really good sort of feedback to be able to take away and think about ways where we might modify that, or if we wanted to put our own spin and maybe add some more stuff in, if we wanted to make it a bit more half marathon specific later on down the track. But, yeah, for the two of us, it was a good hit out. Pulled up pretty well. Yeah.
How did you find going from the 3x2 into the 4x1s? Are you starting to, like, because you've only got 1 minute recovery between all of this?
I think I actually didn't mind it. Just with the decreasing time in the reps, I liked it. And I probably did work a little bit harder than 10K effort for the 1 minute efforts. I probably slid down a bit closer to 5K, but. Yeah, it's nice. Probably where I find it more challenging is if the reps go like a pyramid. So they might go up, start going down and then head back up in the second half. So they're probably, that's the sort of session that keeps me a bit more honest. But yeah, I felt probably took a bit of a license to work a bit harder over those last 4 1-minute reps. But it was good. I enjoyed it. It was nice. I think I'll be asking to keep that one in the rotation, I think. So. Yeah,
even on the 2 minute, like you talk about getting in at 10K effort, even the threes. Are you doing that by feel, or are you looking at the, like, are you dialed in knowing that this feels like 10K effort, and then you get to it and you go, okay, I was running 10K, or you're actually having a conscious look at, you know, just a sneaky glance in, you know, back end of rep or in the middle of rep?
Yeah, So to start off with, that first 4 minutes was definitely having a look at the watch, because still with a bit of fatigue in the legs from Albert Park, just sort of not quite, like the lungs feel okay, but the legs feel a bit different. And then, yeah, probably about halfway through that first 4 minutes, sort of had a look at the watch and went, oh, yeah, this feels pretty good. I'm happy with that. And it was probably 3:37, 3:38, and I averaged 3:36 in the race. So I was pretty content with that and just thought, you know, as I loosen up, I'll probably get a bit quicker. And as the reps decrease, that'll probably help a bit too. And yeah, sure enough, like the threes and the twos, they were just like little increments a bit faster. And then the 1 minute's probably, just ran a bit faster, because it went sort of from that 75% effort, 25% recovery, down to 50-50. And the 1 minute jog, 1 minute effort actually felt pretty generous by the end. So yeah, whilst I was running a bit quicker, I wasn't going to the well. Like, I think in my final surge notes, I just put it like, I felt like I put 7 out of 10 effort
For the session. That's really controlled. Like the fact that you could sit in and come away going, yeah, that was 7 or 8 out. And because it's very easy in those fartleks to get carried away in the back end of it and just try to absolutely launch it. And it's probably a sign of maturity and discipline that you were able just to go, yep, I just need to not bury myself, but get through it and know that, obviously you're backing up with a longer run. So you want to also keep that.
Yeah, I think one thing I've been sort of really conscious of and telling myself over the last couple of months is it's the sum of your week and then your months. That's not how impressive your last 2 minutes were of your fartlek. So very much sort of towards the end of the session, whilst I'm concentrating on what I'm doing, I'm already thinking, all right, well, we've got a long run in 2 days' time and we've got to prepare for that. So, what does recovery look like? We're sort of already mentally moving on to the next one and not going, for me, trying to get too caught up in any one session or result, because I know with my improvement, it's these races are the things that I guess I'm targeting and hoping, or even using almost as a bit of a double session.
Yeah.
For some of them, just with the fatigue that I'm building up. So definitely. It's funny, the younger me in my late 20s wouldn't have given a stuff about recovery. Whereas I'm actually quite passionate about it now, because how much I absolutely love the chance of being able to get out and run with Anna and sort of have a laugh. Like, it's brilliant. So I don't want to miss that. But I also know that if I don't do my recovery properly, the quality of what I do during the week is pretty heavily compromised. So, but trying to be very diligent. But
we have got a listener question that we'll get to next week. Just we pressed for time this week, but we have parked that one. We're going to delve into a bit more about recovery preparing for our runs and then what we're doing recovery-wise.
Yeah.
We've got to unpack that a bit more, Chris.
Yeah, but no, we got through that. And then 2-hour long run on the Saturday, so it was a bit under 25K. And, sort of ticked that one off. Bit of an early start, but that was good.
I was going to say, is that 4:40? Wow.
Yeah.
That is, jeez.
That was early. No, we... Anna had sort of 80 to 90 minutes, but she had a fair bit on her Saturday, and I wanted to try and get the sort of extra part of my run done before she started. So I made the decision to start at 4:40. That was, that was my choice.
You're out the door straight on the 4:50s.
I think...
your body activations and your strides down the hallway
There's a lot to be said for caffeine and drills. They're a lovely combo before a long run, believe me, especially at that hour. But it was just a really nice morning too. It was super still. It wasn't like 6 or 7 degrees. It was brilliant. Had the gloves out. I was loving it. So although at that time of morning, there's literally no other noise. So I was out doing the first part of my run, and I actually felt a bit bad. Just thought, shit, I hope no one hears me. But thankfully no one did. No one came out and told me to go inside and stop sort of seeing if I was braking into cars or anything. But no, it was good. But managed to catch up on a bit of a nap Saturday afternoon and again Sunday. Yeah, so it was good.
Very good, mate. No, that's a solid Sunday run, knocking the 2 hours out and at a good pace too.
Yeah, no, happy with that. Sort of hopefully get through this week with similar volume, I guess, and then, start freshen up a little bit next week just with the easy runs. It seems to be working, and see what happens at Bendigo. But speaking of Bendigo, mate.
Will you session next week?
I won't. Definitely just back on the easy run train next week. It's everything's been working pretty well. So, just doing that the last couple of races. So, we'll stick with that, I think.
Very nice. Good stuff.
But speaking of Bendigo, hopefully you'll be joining me on the start line. But how's the progress been over the last 7 days, mate? How are we looking?
It's good, mate. I bet there is progress. I know you were super optimistic as you always are last week when you say, yeah, you'll be out there. And I was sort of thinking, yeah, that's pretty ambitious. And given that there's no absolute rush, like, you know, whilst I want to be out at Bendigo, it's not the A race. So it's been just taking it day by day and probably taking the pressure off time-wise. Like, you know, I don't really want to put a timeline on this because, you know, I'm also, you know, I love my running, obviously, and I don't want to jeopardize anything that will sort of push this out any longer. So it's a bit more of a conservative approach, and obviously working with James to just, do what we can to get it going. And I think the big key, and I think when we spoke last week, I was in the middle of that pretty much week off, essentially. And I was still limping. And that was one of the big kind of markers, was to get back to normal functioning walking. And that's still, it's almost there. Like, I could still, when I'm sitting down for a longer period, it's a little bit worse, but I'm still walking, just slightly favoring it. It's getting better. But the plan was on Sunday was to trial a 20 minute run. So I did a walk to Al was actually out locally. So he was doing his Sunday run. So you said, look, I'll join you for your first 20 minutes. And it was going to be on the flat. So I sort of walked from my place to the Garners Creek Trail, which is flat, and joined him. So it's always like, I've come back from done walk jogs, and I've done lots of those first runs, and you're always feeling like, well, you're obviously overthinking every step, and yeah, you're kind of keyed up, you're like excited to get going, but then you almost want to somehow trick yourself to think that you'll take a few steps and everything will feel fine. But obviously it felt uncomfortable early, but then got better through the run. Like, you know, I was, and it also been, you know, it hadn't had a week off of not doing anything. So even the rest of your body feels a little bit like just out of sync. And that the big thing was the lack of power and lack of, you know, it was a real lot of, and I almost felt like I was running on my heels, like on one side on my heel and almost heel striking. So that was strange. And then I was able to sort of get into a more of a routine. And like, traditionally, I am a slow starter. Like, even if I'd have to look down, but I almost, from what I run at, that when I'm up and going in the middle of a run compared to the first, it can be 20 seconds difference over the course of, you know, an easy run. So that's another thing for me. I do always start slow and then work in, and I feel better as I run further and longer. You know, I've had runs where I've started at a 5:15 k, but then middle of the run running 4:30s, 4:40s. So that was sort of, you know, my first k at I didn't look at the pace until I got back, and it was like a 5:25 for that first k, and it felt like I was obviously being in protective mode and trying to just get through it unscathed. But the important thing was the next day felt a little bit better. Like, I didn't immediately feel like, okay, that's, you know, I'm kind of going backwards here. I actually got some blood flowing and got moving. And so it's obviously good to do that. And then, yeah, it was into Monday. We're recording this on Wednesday. So I had 33 minutes, so I had about 30 minutes to try. So 30 to 40 minutes ended up being, yeah. And just, again, this time was at Tan with the crew. I started by myself, did sort of another K just to warm it up. Like, I've been doing calf raises. That's the other protocol that James got me to do, is to sort of get out, get some calf raises in. And, again, that feels junky, that first K. And then once I was on the flat running with a group, talking away, it felt better. And, you know, in the middle, I could still feel it. That is the thing. It almost feels like there's 60% power in the one side of my body. And, you know, I'm not trying to push, but the other side feels absolutely fine. Like, as good as it felt. So yeah, it's a weird feeling. You know, you're just sort of running on and it's just a dull ache. And yeah, and then had a day off on Tuesday and then was back out there again tonight and had 35 minutes, I think. And this time we did two laps to the 10 and probably came out a little bit quicker, just ran the usual group pace and felt it got warmed up and better quicker. Yeah, it was probably within a K I was feeling quite good, but still no power and still that feeling through it where, you know, if I had to run like this every day, it just it wouldn't be fun. So whilst I think there is progress, I think it's just a bit slower than I'd obviously like.
I think like with the progress you've made in the last 7 days, so if we go back to last Wednesday to where you're at now, I think you've done really well.
Mm.
Because it, with a calf, you can't really stay off it or offload it. I mean, if you're walking, if you're walking, you're using it. So, I mean, it's good in a sense because you're getting some blood flow through there, but the only times you're really purely resting it is if you're sitting or sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, that's about it. But how does it feel from a confidence standpoint, mate? Like, where would you say, like, confidence-wise, where you feel it's at the moment?
Yeah, it's... It just like a sort of, I feel like it just needs, like there's parts through the day where you're like, oh, it's almost pain free. I can do a calf raise with nearly sort of without any sort of feeling of this is different to this is what it used to feel like. That gives me a bit of confidence. But when I'm running, it's still just this like I can't get full range of movement through it. And I do feel like I'm pretty, just almost jammed up sort of feeling. And yeah, I think that's just going to take time. You know, the body's going through. James seems to think it's just, it is reacting like a typical strain. So, you know, hopefully, I think given how today's run was probably without like, the calf feeling, you know, 60% power, it felt like a normal run on the other side. So like if I can come through that and, you know, maybe the next run I get 70% power, then, you know, that'll be progress. And hopefully these things just start to turn around really quickly. Like Steve had this issue. He had a soleus issue. Probably about 6 weeks ago, and he was able to get on top of it within a week. So obviously everyone's different. So it may turn around a bit quicker once now that I'm starting to get some Ks and, you know, some running into the legs.
I reckon he rolled 100K a week first up on his comeback week, didn't he?
Yeah, I suspect whether he actually did. I don't know if he, because he did go to New Zealand and had a few events on and a few beers. So I think he might have just done the soleus in quotation
marks. Right.
Anyway, we'll get him back on at some point. He can defend himself.
Let's say with you notice it on the undulations around the 10, like any more on the uphills or the downhills, or it's just pretty consistent all the way around.
Funny you say. Yeah, I felt probably maybe on the Monday run I could feel a little bit more, whereas today I felt like I was probably a little bit consistent across the whole run.
Oh, that's so progress. We'll take that.
If we're reaching for things, let's go with that one.
Yeah.
That's definitely, that wasn't as prominent. But, yeah, when you run, like the thing is, when you go out and run, you're pain-free. You don't even think any of these things, and then you start to overanalyze. Sore here, sore there. But when you're in just an easy run, typical recovery run, I could, you know, run for an hour and talk through the whole run and not know. Yeah, I've had the knee. I sort of know my little triggers with the knee, but that kind of, you know, that sort of just comes and goes. But when you're thinking back to points through the run, it's like, yeah. And look, we all want to just. It's funny when you. 2 weeks ago, you're rolling sessions and you're just taking for granted when you're doing warm-ups and you're a little bit tired, whereas you'd take that in a heartbeat. But as I've said to quite a few people, and yourself included, we'll talk about it earlier, it's like I don't have a stress bone stress injury. I don't, you know, there is this is a pretty standard injury. There's a process to go through, and it's just a matter of just following that. And yeah, could be a hell of a lot worse. It's not the end of the world. I've got health, so.
No, that's it. And I, you know, really in the scheme of things, we're having a look at it between now and Gold Coast. Like there's Bendigo this weekend, Cruden Farm, sort of 3 weeks after that, and then sort of Gold Coast. So worst case, you know, if everything went really smoothly, maybe it's just Bendigo that you miss. You'd sort of have a run around potentially at Cruden Farm, and then Mitch could be a nice little fitness pickup ahead of Gold Coast, and bang, you're away. So.
Yeah, and look, if I get to that start line at Gold Coast, I'll probably, I just take it week by week. With that, I did finish that race and go, I'm in the ballpark to target a time, and the time's now probably not. I'm not focused on that. I'm really just focused on getting healthy before thinking about setting any goals around that. It's yes. Well, let's see what happens tomorrow with how it pulls up and another run and then go from there.
I like the sound of that. I think definite progress from where we were at last week, but hopefully by the time next Wednesday rolls around, we sit down and have a chat that, we're sort of pain-free, lots of Ks, maybe even a sneaky long run as well.
That'd be nice. That'd be
nice. We'll take that.
Yeah. Right, mate, we've got our guests coming in. So joining us this week on the Better With Running podcast, it's actually our first running couple. Many of you would have seen them on our socials, and they've become a bit of the poster couple for Run to BB Instagram account with the matchy matchy race kits, which we know, I know Chriso is a big fan of, and I'm
massive fan
around it. At both have been athletes of Run to BB for over a couple of years now, and coached by Matt Davey. Welcome to the show, Reese Whitaker and Stacey Bolter.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us, Zach.
Good to be here.
Yep, I had a feeling that might have popped up, that comment about the matchy-matchy outfits.
Yeah, he was nervous.
And, I was nervous, and I might have told one or two of my mates. that's probably going to come up, and doesn't mean you can open flat.
He's nervous because
Zach has said it.
It might get out of the bag that it's his idea most of the time.
Oh,
this is outstanding content this is something that I'll be delving into a bit deeper later on. I'm very, very much looking forward to.
We've actually hit up the man behind the scenes, Mattress Davey, your coach, to send through a little bit more of a bio. And Chriso, you want to kick that one off?
Yeah, so Matty's sent us some notes, firstly on Reese. So Reese signed up wanting to tick off a few goals, and he's gone from strength to strength ever since. Just been trying to build gradually on each marathon prep. Original goals were wanted to run a 240 marathon, which he ran at Melbourne. Wanted to break 1:15 for a half, and just recently ran 1:13 at the Mornington Half Marathon, where he finished third on the podium. Wanted to break 33:20 for 10K. We're still chasing that one, and may have taken the 5K down. Was it 16:50, and that's now been lowered to 15:54. That is a large chunk too, by the way. That's bloody impressive. Restarted in tries and went to trails, and now he's on the road and the track and sort of taking it to the next level. Targeting the Gold Coast Marathon. He's bumped up the mileage after a couple of builds as his strength increases, and very, very strong over the Arthur's Seat Hills. So, yeah, just a few notes there from Matty, and I don't think he couldn't be any more impressed, I reckon, Zaka, by the sound of that.
Yes, he is a massive fan. And I think the fact that you're strong over the Arthur's Seat Hills, if you can impress Mattress over those hills, you're doing a good job, because he absolutely loves them.
It took a while to hold a conversation with Mattress up on the Arthur's Seat Hills. It didn't happen overnight.
And Matt also sent through some details on you, Stacey, and it was I'm just reading off what Matt sent here. So Stacey played elite softball before starting running in 2011 with an aim to get more structure in running. We work really hard on focusing on consistency with a gradual build in volume, particularly the long run, allowing the body to adapt and get stronger. Having had quite a bit of time off with some injuries before signing up and then a few races due to those injuries and then COVID, Stacey's been able to get some fantastic results and looking forward to cracking some PBs. She's won both the 10K and the half marathon at the Mornington Run Festival, and that was just recently running 123, which was a very impressive run over the hills. And also got a win at the Bendigo 10K. Then got into her first track race for years with a 5K at the Tiger 5 running 18:27. Big plans ahead with the Gold Coast Half looming and then onto the Melbourne Marathon. And then some potential overseas bucket list marathons on the card. So, yes, Mattress is very excited with the way you're going, and particularly as you gear up towards that Gold Coast Half, which we can dig into a little bit later, and then into the Melbourne Marathon. Yeah, full of praise from Coach Mattress.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Exciting. Hey, I'll start with you, Stacey. So it does reference you'd played some elite softball, but talk us about how you transitioned into running and how long and that sort of process of starting running and, you know, getting involved. I believe you've been involved in some club running as well. How did that all start?
So I played softball when I was young. I started in baseball and moved into softball, and I was playing in the Victorian women's team, and I was in the AIS, and we had a pretty disappointing year, and the captain of the team told us to go away and play another sport and bring something back. But, you know, we were training. I mean, our off season was probably a month. So I thought, well, what am I going to do? I was a Monash Uni student at the time, and Trevor Vincent's run group poster caught my eye one day. So I found myself heading down to the Run Monash Tuesday night group down there. And then Trevor's a bit, if anyone knows him, he's a dog with a bone when it comes to recruitment. Yes. And I said, no, I play softball. I can't be doing this running. Like, I'm just here for, you know, a month, and I'm still there. I haven't been down to the Run Monash for a while, but I joined Glenn Huntley in about 2011, 2012. And I structured training. My running just went from strength to strength, and found myself sort of sneaking into a Zatopek, which was amazing. I got lapped so many times, but it was just so much fun. And I was, you know, young and running pretty well. And then I started getting some injuries when I retired from softball because I wanted to do running. And I think I just wasn't used to that continuous straight line repetitive movement, and I started to break down. So I sort of, you know, bounced around training a lot, getting into some training for a few weeks, getting injured, and that went on and on for a few years. I met Reese, and Reese had just joined with Mattress, and I liked what I saw in his training. And so I said to Matt, can I jump on board? And it's been fantastic. I've pretty much, since I joined with him, I've pretty much been fairly consistent for nearly 2 years now. And I've just learned so much about recovery and proper training, and you know, I guess I could get away with it when I was younger, but as I got older, I needed to think about those things a little bit more. So,
yeah, I guess just having that objective view and someone just to sort of have a look over it, rather than, it's very easy when you're doing it by yourself to get caught up in it. And it sounds like you've got a great relationship with Mattress there.
Yeah, it's good. It's great. I really trust him with my training, and I'm a physio, so I needed someone to take that away from me. And I just wake up, check the app, and I go, okay, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Reese? How did you get your start in running, mate?
Well, I actually grew up playing soccer at a pretty high level. And that's probably, that was my main sport growing up through school and high school. And at the same time, I was into like the little athletics, the local club. And I kind of joined this athletics club. I remember I used to do cross country and used to get smashed at the local school. And then I joined the athletics club, and the next year it turned up, and I think I beat everyone by a couple of minutes. And then from there, I was like, yeah, I think little athletics is for me. Because then every year when the cross country came around, it was great. You know, I got to kind of go to zone and, you know, to state and things like that. And I think that together with, you know, being really fit really helped with soccer. And so even though I played soccer until I was about 20, 21, running was always something I did on the side. It was just, you know, it was always something I did to get to be a better soccer player. So when that finished up, I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but there was a bit of a void after soccer, and I kind of wanted to feel like an athlete again. And I think I just found, you know, like triathlon, and had a bit of fun with that, and realized I was actually a pretty ordinary swimmer, and, you know, could only go so far with triathlon and trying to catch everyone when I give them a 10-minute head start.
That's very generous of you to give them a head start like that too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that was, yeah, so triathlon was fun, but then I just sort of moved into trail running and really enjoyed like running in the mountains and finding some of those single tracks around the Dandenongs and traveling around Victoria. There's a few races like Buffalo Stampede and what's the other one? Paul's Gap, the Wonsland Run. I think they do like a 36K, and that was probably the first time I actually started to do some distance running. And I think I moved into Seaford at the time. I was walking my dog and I saw these two skinny runners just flying by me. Oh, geez, I thought I was quick. You know, I thought I was the big dog in the area. And it actually ended up being Mattress and Gemma.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, I think I found out they were with Frankston.
Was that the Wetlands?
Yeah, that was the Wetlands.
Yeah, Mattress. Definitely king around there.
Yeah. So I kind of looked them up and found out they're in Frankston, and I kind of was just running by myself for like a good 5 years, and I was pretty happy at the time to do that. But after a while, I was kind of like, I'm doing all this running and all my friends are out drinking, and I've kind of got no one to hang out with and run, and sort of went looking for some mates. I joined the Frankston club, and that's pretty much where I met Mattress. And yeah, then decided to get a coach and, asked him to help me.
You're definitely enjoying your running more now, mate, not having to go solo.
Oh, yeah, so much. Yeah, it's, you know, there's only so much that listening to music and just running by yourself, you know, once you start to, I think, push the kilometres and, you know, running can become a bit monotonous if, you know, you're running every day and sometimes twice a day. It's pretty nice to meet a few mates, and, you know, I think as you get a bit older too, you're not quite so serious, and you know you go and have a beer after on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and it becomes something you really look forward to, is running with your mates.
It looks like you've got a bit of a crew. You're part of the Ninch track club, both of you down there, and it looks like you got the Sunday runs going, you got some sessions together. I mean, it's great that runners like yourselves who were doing it solo now are getting coaching, but also being able to get in a group environment. And I guess for you, how have you found that training environment when you've done sessions with other people?
At first, I think it's, you kind of try and stay with everyone, you know. You're a bit of an inexperienced runner, and I remember going down the track and I think, you know, Mattress and Dane and his crew were there and Gemma, and, you know, they set sort of their session, and you think you try and go with them, and you soon realise that well, you're not fit or fast enough, and all you're doing is, you know, kind of pushing yourself too hard, and you have to start thinking a bit more about the long game and your own kind of progression. So yeah, look, it's motivating, but you also have to sometimes pull back and think, you know, is this the level I'm at, or, you know, or do I have to sort of focus on my own for a little while?
Yeah, I did a lot of training down at Glen Huntly with my training partner, was Cass Little, still is, and so I'm used to doing all, like, I started doing sessions with big groups, and that's kind of all I knew. And then more recently with work and just different schedules, I'm now doing a lot of sessions by myself, which I find so different. And then if me and Reese sort of match our schedules a little bit and we start off with a session, I find my start of my session is pretty good quality, because I'm trying to hang on to his coattails. I realize that that's not a great idea, Matt probably wouldn't be too happy. And then I'm blowing a gasket. So I back off, but I do like that little snippet. I do miss it so much, and you definitely can train better when you're around people. But I just love the Sunday runs and weekend runs where I get down and train with the niche track guys. And I hadn't trained much with them before I met Reese, and that's been fantastic. I've loved that. So yeah.
Nice. It's a little bit more laid back atmosphere at the Ninch Track Club, Stacey, than at Glen Huntly under TV.
Yeah, I mean, just depended, I guess, where you were in your season with TV. And we had Leslie Grimes running the session. But if you ask TV how you went, it was, you know, just a step along the journey. So
yeah, I might have got involved in a bit of a mattress, and I might have got involved in a bit of a war on Strava with one of TV's former athletes who returned to running, Josh Papalinkio, who was he was on the podcast a while ago. Ran at Albert Park, and we were floating the idea that he might come to Melbourne Uni, and then TV was all over it, said hands off, and he's not a guy to mess with. He may be getting on a bit, but I wouldn't want to mess with him
when it comes to
stealing athletes.
No, he's got his roster lined up pretty well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Hey, talk about the Ninch Track Club. They were out in full force in earlier this month down at Mornington, the home ground advantage. And Stace, you cleaned up. You got the win in a PB, 123.37. And then Reese, you, as we mentioned earlier, was also on the podium with your PB. Do you want to talk us through your race, Stace? And obviously, this half marathon, was this your... How many half marathons have you done?
Well, I've done a few, but most of them are Melbourne and Burnley. Burnley, sorry. So I hadn't done a half for about 6 or 7 years before I did Melbourne half last year. And so I think my PB is sitting down at like an hour 21. Yeah, to run an hour 23 on those hills, I had no idea how I was going to go, to be honest, because I hadn't, leading up to Melbourne, it was such a focus because I hadn't done one for such a long time, and I probably put a lot of pressure on it, and sort of did like a mini, I guess, a build towards that, whereas this one I've just been training pretty consistently, so I didn't really know where my fitness was, and I was very surprised. I think I ran maybe 20 seconds slower than what I ran at Melbourne. And so I was stoked with considering the hills in Mornington. That's what I was probably most worried about. So I kind of went out and I had no idea what was going to happen. There was a girl in front of me. She got out a little way and I thought, oh, well, you know, that's going to happen. And then we got to the hills and she started yo-yoing a bit. And I thought, hang on a second. This might be okay. So I just sort of on the hills just kind of kept it steady, and I slowly dragged her in and passed her pretty convincingly. And I had a heap of guys around me who were sort of, I was passing, they were passing me, and it was I could sort of pick people out and race a little bit along the way. So yeah, it was excellent. And then from the turnaround, it was such a great, like such a good community run. You're running back on the field, they're cheering you, especially like I think it was great for everyone, but being the lead girl coming through, I had a lot of female support out there. And I reckon I got, I said to Reese, I think I had a free 5K because I kind of didn't notice getting through those back into the hills on the way back because it was just a lot of fun coming through the other side of the field until you hit the 10K turnaround where I was like the 10K race turnaround and you, then you're sort of weeding through the masses in their 10K race. But it kept it very interesting and I felt pretty strong the whole way and I honestly, I would have been happy if I ran under an hour 25, I'd said beforehand. And I actually didn't know what I was running at the time. I had no idea because my pace was all over the place with the hills. When I sort of got close enough, I thought, geez, I'm going to run under an hour 24 here. This is going to be a great run for where I'm at this year. So, yeah. I was really pleased.
Oh, I love that. Did you spot Reese out on the course?
Did, yep. Yeah. I told him to get going.
How did he look?
Yeah, no, Reese looked great, I must say. We haven't seen each other race a great deal. Oh, I've seen him race a lot, but he hadn't seen me race a lot because I wasn't racing early on. And the last few races that we've run in at Bendigo, I said he didn't look like he was having a great time when I passed him. That was sort of out and back as well. And this time I saw him and my his face lit up, my face lit up because I could see he was having a day out and I was not surprised at all that he worked himself in a third and I wasn't surprised that he ran 73 minutes. So I was really happy.
How is it as a couple on race day, like race morning, because you're obviously both supporting each other and then you've also got the job to do and you know I don't know if one gets more nervous than the other or how does that go down?
I reckon we just get really pumped, to be honest. I reckon we just get really excited, like contained, but we're just both really focused and motivated. And I think when you see like the other doing quite well and having a good time, then that helps as well. Because when I saw Stacey, and I've seen her on a couple of runs where, and like she mentioned, she saw me at Bendigo and, you know, the face looks a bit tense and, you know, like it's tough work. But that day, Stace, she was just out for she was having a time, you know, she was smiling and at halfway. And I thought, and I saw she was up front and I knew she would hold that easily because I could just tell she was relaxed and it was flowing and happening for her. Where I think when running, when you're like, when the face is showing a bit early, I think you're probably spending a bit too many cookies and you're not that comfy.
Yeah,
spot on.
Yeah. I guess we probably deal with our stress the same. It's a bit internal and we don't really shed it onto each other, which is good. And the drive down, there's always a pump up playlist. Reese has. He loves his pump up playlist. Whereas I'm usually a little bit more quiet and reserved, but I don't mind because I'll have my quiet time on the warm up. But Reese loves having his favorite songs going in the car. And so it's a pretty relaxed household, isn't it?
What sort of songs are we hearing on the playlist, Reese? I think this is something that the people definitely want to know. We've got a few favourites on there, mate.
I have a broad range.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, actually.
Your favourite one.
Yeah, at the moment. What's my favourite?
Sipping on Yak.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
That is his favourite, though.
Been out of the game. Again.
So there's a few classics, like a few rock classics, like your AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, some of the sort of old, classic rock songs I really love. But then every now and then there'll be like a real random song that's just, it's got like, I don't even know what it means. It's random, but it just has a bit of a tune.
Yeah.
And one of them's, it's Sipping on Yak. Have you heard that song? Like you shake your head. It's like, and I know, like in a few years, I'll be like even more embarrassed than I am right now that I used to like that song. But it just hits me, and I just, you know, get into the groove and makes me happy. So
I don't know if you remember this, but we were driving to a session. We were in separate cars because Reese was in a Marabild, and I just get this text zipping on Yak, and I was like, "What's on?" I know it's early, but I don't even know what he's talking about. And then you pull up, and the car's like the window's down, and this song's there. And I'm like,
exactly.
You might have Bill does.
You might have a song for the Insta story this week, Zacha.
Yes, definitely. get on that one.
God, everyone's got a bit of an embarrassing pump up song. What's your song?
Yeah, I think if you're in a car with me on a way to a run, there's a fair chance you're going to hear a lot of Taylor Swift and a lot of Amy Sharp. That's pretty much exclusive. I've got a good couple of hours of just Taylor and Amy just blasting away. And I'm very, very fortunate that my wife loves listening to both of those ladies. So, I'm a huge fan. Amy Sharp came to Shepparton last year, and I was like a kid at Christmas. And there's all these kids dressed up in denim and top knots in their hair, and I know I felt pretty old, but then as soon as she started singing, I was just belting everything out the top of my lungs. It was great.
Good stuff. Chris, you got a question there about off the track.
I do. So heard it, like, obviously very busy, the both of you. Reese, you're a podiatrist, I believe.
Yep.
Cool, that's right. My info's correct then. That's good. I was a bit nervous about that. And Stacey, you mentioned before you're a physio. So obviously, do you guys look after each other if either have got an issue, or do you see other people, or how does that work?
No, I see Reese for podiatry. Yeah.
Yep. 10 out of 10 do recommend.
I recommend. Yep. I think it's handy.
Post a business card.
Yeah. No, he's good. I've had a bit of plantar lately, and I have freaked out with it, and he's been pretty much right the whole time. Everything I said would happen has not happened. Everything that he said has happened So he looks after me pretty good.
Does that make you a bit of a shoe dog, Reese? And what's your take on the carbon shoes and the changes in footwear of late?
Yeah, I am definitely a shoe geek. I really like the updates. I really like the upgrades and the super shoes and all the carbon plates.
Got a favorite at the moment?
What's that?
Got a favorite shoe at the moment?
Yeah, I do. I've got a couple pairs of Alpha Flies. They are a big favorite of mine. The Alpha Flies, it was the Next Percent, but I think for what works for me personally, the Alpha Flies tick those boxes, and I do recommend certain super shoes to certain people depending on injury history and running experience and goals and etc. I love my shoes. We do have a pretty big shoe rack between both of us. And
imagine.
We've probably got like a bit of an overflow that should be thrown in the bin, but.
Yeah, we're just going to probably get another rack.
I agree with Stacey. You just get another rack. You don't throw another shoes away.
I bought that rack here, and I've somehow lost half my rack. So, definitely need another.
And I do see, or Stacey does, treat my injuries. I had a stress reaction a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But even prior to that, you look after all the, you know, calves and hammy tendinopathies and stuff like that. The occasional neck massage and fall back and things like that. Nice. Probably not from running, probably just from sitting.
Very good. How did you two meet? Was it out on the run somewhere, or how did that all come about?
Oh, glad this wasn't on the quick fire. We could have. I guess we'll be.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, when you say you'll never go online, we went online dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And met on Hinge.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. That seems to be where it's all at.
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any, I don't think there's much of a stigma to it nowadays.
No, that's true. And
probably the opposite. I think if you meet in real life nowadays, you're an outlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Hey, just switching gears back onto the running. Goals for the rest of the year. We sort of referenced marathon, half marathon, marathons, where we're at on those on that front. You want to kick it off, Reese?
Yep. I haven't even discussed this with Mattress, but I'm pretty sure he'll be on board. And I reckon from my recent results and what he sort of felt that I should run in, say, the half, I'm looking to a 2:35, I think, is a pretty reasonable target. Mm-hmm. I've done the two marathons, and first one was 2:42. Last year was 2:40. But I just feel like I'm running a lot freer and a lot better. Touch wood, injury free. I've had a nice big block. My mileage has been higher for longer. And with the experience of the two marathons, yeah, I feel like I'm going to have a lot more strength on the back end of the marathon, which is where I pretty much and most people fall apart a bit, is that sort of 32 to, onwards mark. So that's my goal. So I'll be looking to hit that up. And
I did see on your Strava, and you guys were on a bit of a road trip. Was it last sort of 7 days or so? And there might have been a long run out in Bendigo with some of the bats. Your longest run over the Marrow Block, 34K. So be good to tick that one off with some pretty heavy hitters in the Bendigo bats.
Yeah, it was good crew that day. We've done that a few times. Usually Stace's parents live there, so we'll go back and we'll still, run and we'll hook up with the Sunday Sevens, the Bendigo Bats, and they're really welcoming and a good crew to run with. And there's a few very good runners there. Yeah, you start kind of hearing like how they ran at Albert Park, and you're like, that's right. Yeah.
Andy Buchanan just dropping his PV off. Unusually. Very cool. And Stace, your half marathon, that's your target at the moment?
Yeah. So I'm hoping to chase a PB. So I'd love to go 80 minutes. I feel like with a few more weeks training and how I went at Mornington over the hills on a reasonably flat Gold Coast course, it's a realistic goal. So it's been, 6 or 7 years since I've hit a PB. So that will be, I'm anxious to get that one off the back. So yeah, so fingers crossed.
Very cool. So I reckon it's time, mate.
I'm very excited for this. So got a few quick questions here for you guys, and I'd love an answer from both of you. Obviously you don't have to answer at the same time, but whoever wants to jump in first can, and then we'll see how we go. We'll give you a nice easy layup one to start off with. So with your watch, are we rolling with a Garmin or a Coros watch?
A Garmin.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think we just total acceptance around the Garmin. Coros do make a good watch, but they just haven't quite sort of captured the public imagination, I don't think.
They tempted me, but
Garmin fan.
Yeah.
No, good stuff. iPhones or Android?
iPhones.
Yep. Yep. Unanimous across the board so far with everyone we've had on. So very good. Half tights or split shorts?
Ooh, depends on the weather.
Yeah.
Frosty morning, half tight.
Yep.
Race day, yeah, splits. Oh, split short.
What do you feel more comfortable in?
Probably the splitties on a hotter day or a yep. long run.
Bit more breathable. Very good. What about yourself, Stacey?
Race day tights, yeah. Short shorts, yeah. Short tights and then
aerodynamic.
Yeah, I like the Nike AeroSwift ones. And then but training, I just wear whatever is I'm more picking on colour.
Yep.
Training.
Very good. Favorite running sock, so brand to start off with. Do you have a preference at all?
What about if you have a few?
Oh God, is this sock?
Yeah, here all night with your collection,
yeah, can't help it. I love
the On running sock.
Okay, I've never tried their socks.
Cool.
Like the Nike Spark sock, the Steigens, and the 2xU Vector socks.
Very good. Now, what about sock length? We're going ankle socks, sort of half length. We're sort of rolling a bit further up the calf. What do we prefer to sort of roll with both race day and training?
I'm ankle sock every day.
Yeah, nothing above the ankle bone?
No.
No.
Crew sock and hide the chicken legs.
Mate, with all these hills, I would have been expecting a cracking pair of calves. No?
No, I mean the ankle, you know.
Okay.
Show off the car.
No, that's all right. No, very good. Track, road or trails? Where do you prefer to run?
Road.
Race, road.
Yep, training?
Trail.
Yeah, probably.
Yep. Very good. Now, I know Zach asked before about your favourite shoes and Reese, you're a big fan of the Alpha Flies. Stace, what about you, mate? What do you prefer to, what's your shoe of choice for a race?
Yeah, anything longer, like a half, is Alpha Fly for sure. But I do like the Vapor Fly for a 10 or a 5.
Mm-hmm. What about favorite easy day shoe?
Well, my all time favorite was the Invincible One.
Yeah, a lot of people. The update hasn't been received well.
No. But now I'm small. I love the Saucony Speed as well. I'd wear that for everything. Yeah.
It's a good multi-purpose shoe, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
What about yourself, Reese?
I like the Invincible 2 and the Cloud. I just got a pair of Cloud Monsters on running.
Big fan of those, yeah.
They're really nice, especially for a long run where you want to get motoring a bit. Mm. They're very nice. Yeah, concrete feels like trail.
Yeah, they're very smooth.
Now, this is a bit of an open question. Probably this one needs, it's not a quick answer, I don't think, but best advice for picking a race outfit?
Just see what she's wearing.
Yeah.
No. So when with your race outfits, and I'm a huge fan, I reckon if you look good, you feel good. So what goes into picking an outfit for the two of you? Like Stacey, do you just get sort of free range and then Reese has to go with it? Or does Reese come to you about 6 weeks out and go, hey, I've been shopping, I've found a singlet and I've got socks and I've got shoes that match. This is what we're doing. Like how does it all come together?
Well, I think with the yellow Aeros, well, we're big fan of Aeroswift singlets. And
can't
I think
go wrong.
You can't go wrong. Very elite. I think with the yellow one, I got it for Christmas off Reese, and then he went and bought himself one.
Here we go.
Trying to copy you, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, classic. no, I reckon. I do like this bit of splash of colour. So I love the yellow one. But I'm real big fan of the pink one at the moment. So, yeah, I reckon I'll stick with that one for Gold Coast at the moment.
Is that the pale pink one with the black tick?
Yeah. Yep.
New release. It does look really good. Reese, will you be rolling with the sort of slightly brighter pink singlet and the white tick, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, they do make pink, don't they, for men?
They do. I've got one. It's great. I'm a big fan.
I might just borrow yours. No, I'll be going bright. I when I pick a race outfit, especially if it's something like the marathon, something I've been training for a long time. Yeah, I don't hold back. The brighter the better.
Mm-hmm.
Larrier the better. I'm not unfortunately not right up the front, so I may as well stand out in the mid pack.
No, I like that. Like when you're putting the kit together though, what's the first item that you choose? Like, are we starting with the shoes and we're basing everything off that, or do we find a top that we like and use that as the first thing? What's our starting point?
Top first, top down.
Yeah.
Socks are important.
My shorts mm-hmm. same all the time. And then so top is the big choice for me. But you like to go right through shorts and socks and
I reckon the first mare I did, it was like top and shorts matching, but mm-hmm. I got a lot of shit for that.
Yes.
So, and then the next year, like bright yellow with bright yellow shorts would have been like, I think I would have copped it from people I didn't know as well. So I've now gone with, we'll be flary, but let's just match the top with the socks and be neutral in the middle.
Yeah. You're rolling the hats as well.
Hey?
You're rocking the hats as well in some of these races, or no hat?
No hat. I feel like it's just too, I know it doesn't make much difference, but I feel like it just heats you up too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
That's all right. What about training runs, mate? Are we sort of putting some effort into the training kit, or are we just sort of going through the motions and sort of saving that for race day?
Have you have these questions come from like mattress or I feel like I'm getting set up here. Have you been talking without me? A little bit, yeah. It definitely does.
We're just giving the people what they want. I think it's we're the people's podcast, that's for sure. But what sort of effort goes into a training kit? Do we sort of just is it something we're putting out the night before, or is it just something we throw together just before we get dressed in the morning?
Well, I throw it together. I usually throw it together. If I'm getting up early before work, it's in the dark. And it'll just depend on what top. Usually I'll go with the top first, because if I want to wear, that'll dictate what shorts I wear. I like to, on the weekend, long run, you have to put some effort into your, kit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't reckon you can just show up in any old thing. Like, there's got to be a little bit of effort put in.
Yeah, you can't slop around.
No.
I am a little bit obsessive. The night before, I do sort of lay out a bit of
Very planned.
And maybe if I'm a bit worried about it being a hard session, I don't know why, I always go for something that I'll feel pretty quick in, and it's been working. So
yeah, I don't mind that. I reckon that's a good move. I reckon there's certain hits and training that that you kind of, for bigger workouts, you go, yep, this is the day to put that kit on.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that, Reese.
Yeah, good. Not just me.
No, I'm the same, mate. Don't worry. If it's a training run, or it's a session, or it's a long run, or even if it's just a 30-minute recovery run, mate, it's the singlet and the socks. They're always complementing each other. Don't you worry about that. And we've gone, most of my shoes now are all base colours, so they're either black or white for the most part. It's just so they can go with everything else. So, you're not being set up. I just wanted to talk to someone that had similar tastes to myself. No, all good. Hey, morning or evening runs, what's your preference? I know your schedule kind of dictates sometimes what you've got to do, but what do you prefer to do?
I prefer evening, but schedule dictates morning.
Mm, I love
big pick for me there, Reese.
Yeah.
Night out.
Mornings for yourself, Stace. Yep.
Yeah, I love the morning weather. So
how early do you like to get out?
I try to start at 6, usually 6.
Yep. No, it's a good time.
Definitely schedule dictates that, but yeah. Like, I was at Albert Park this morning and it was sensational.
Yeah, wow.
Hot air balloon weather this morning.
Yeah, it was. It was awesome.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. No, I love that. Probably now, this has probably been our most popular question, and love the response to this because we could actually be developing something later on in the year. But guys, if you only get to eat one meal for the rest of your life, and that's every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, what are we going with? I like the thought that's going into this.
It's definitely an Italian meal.
Yes. Well, will it be featuring carbs of some sort?
Oh, 100%. Right now I'm thinking between a lasagna,
that's a good call.
Penne bolognese or a salami pizza.
Ooh.
Salami pizza, I might not last very long if I eat that all.
Salami pizza could be interesting for breakfast. But it does sound amazing.
Versatile meal, your pizza.
Yeah.
But remember, you're running a lot, so you'll really appreciate the carbs.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think you'll go with? We're going to go with the lasagna, the bolognese. And is this something that you make yourself, Reece, or do you go out for it, or what are we doing?
It'd be my lasagna.
Yeah.
Oh, your signature lasagna?
Yeah. Bueno, out of 10.
No, he does the lasagna. Yeah, I reckon spaghetti bolognese for me.
Solid choice.
Yeah.
It'd be
a bowl of cereal.
It'd be a bowl of cereal. it'd be like a boring Weet-Bix.
You could eat that easily for everything though.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
We have had a few, like Liam, his was muesli.
Yeah.
His homemade muesli.
Mm.
Well, it'd be a bit of some Weet-Bix and some muesli. You got it with a bit of combination.
Yeah, okay. I want to know a bit more about this, actually. Can you go into a bit more detail, Stacey? So I think this is something that... So how many Weet-Bix are we throwing down? Sort of 2, 3? What's that look like?
I do 2. And then a bit of a shake of muesli.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
Bit of honey.
I like that. Bit of honey. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, we do have a bit of an ask. So the next time, Reece, if you're putting your lasagna together, we'd love a photo if we can. Even if there's a bit of a recipe involved, we'd probably gladly appreciate that too. And Stace, if you're whipping together a bit of Weet-Bix and muesli, or alternatively some bolognese, that would also be acceptable, but would love a photo of that because we've got a bit of a project that Zach has put together for later in the year of some of the recipes from the Run to PB All-Stars that are coming on the podcast. So we'd love for you guys to make a contribution to that if that's okay.
Yeah, perfect.
And hopefully, and who knows, it might be a breakfast special for someone out there later on down the track as well. Hey, no, thank you for that. Now, for both of you, have you got a favourite Aussie runner?
Present or past?
Doesn't matter.
No.
It is hard.
I was going to say, given your fluoro yellow, I thought maybe Liam Adams might be a fan. Yeah. He usually rocks that colour a fair bit when he races.
Yeah,
that's true. I would have to say past runner, I'd probably say Steve Monteghetti, Rob De Castella, I love them both, but I'd probably say Monteghetti in the way that after his career, like he's continued to, and De Castella's still a fit man, but seeing like Monteghetti at all the runs and like just participating and having a great time, and I think that's pretty inspiring, like for a just for a runner that's not an elite, and you know, you get to run with a former world champion and get to shake his hand at the end of the marathon. Like, I think that's pretty special.
Has Mattress got you into the running books? Because he's got quite the collection. I know you'd have Monner's book and Deeks's book. You might have to hit him up for a bit of a library pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he hasn't offered.
It's a hard library to get into, but yeah, if you can.
He might not come back.
He's got some classics in there.
He's well read, I hear.
Yeah. I think Gemma's tried while he's not looking, throw a few out, but quite the stash.
Yeah.
And you, Stace, runner?
Yeah, probably. It's so hard, isn't it? Like, as a female runner, especially at the moment, there's so many amazing role models that you can look up to. But probably, I mean, I love seeing what Sinead Diver does. Mm. When I was running AV, she was coming up through the club system herself at that time, and just to see how she's gone on with it and how she's just managed to continually improve is pretty amazing. And yeah, you see her running around all the time. But yeah. I must admit, I'm a really big fan of Brett Robinson as well. I mean, how could you not be?
two record holders there.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I know of the past runners, but I was never really a running fan growing up. I was more obviously down the baseball, softball side of things. So I don't know. I know those guys just from what they've done, but I never really got to understand, like see it when it was happening, or like really understand like with Monner and that sort of thing. So yeah, more of a present day fan.
There we go. Favorite running podcast?
FTK. I listen to Bob Kudos.
Nice.
I'm a bit guilty. I don't listen to heaps of podcasts. So I used to listen to the Inside Running podcast a lot.
Got rid of Brady.
Yeah. Any others you want to give a shout out to?
Run to PB podcast.
Is that
the gentleman? Yeah. Those hand signals that you were giving and pointing to us really helped.
Nearly needed to type that into.
Well,
the
there's
chat.
An opening because I've.
We'll fix that up with the editing later.
Yeah.
Lordy. No, very good. Well done. We can now put this to air, so that's good. If you could choose a training location, look, you guys live down at Frankston, which matched with
basically on holiday every day.
It's pretty much like living in St. Moritz, if we're being honest. But if you could choose a training location, where would you go, and which other three people would you take with you? Because I'm assuming you'd take each other. That's a given. We're just going to tick that off the list. So what three other people would you take, or who would you take, and where are you going?
Anywhere in the world.
Literally anywhere. Yeah. How about, can we narrow it down slightly?
Is that a question or an answer?
No, it's a question.
Oh. Anywhere, literally anywhere. Budget's not
a problem.
You
can go altitude, you can go, yeah.
Oh.
US, overseas, Europe. Local, anywhere. Yeah.
Probably. I reckon I'd love to go to like Boulder. I reckon that'd be awesome. That'd be grouse. And so then, yeah, obviously I'd take Reese. I'd take Cass, training partner. Probably M, another training partner of mine, who's a local girl from Edith Vale. And it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is hard when you got a limit.
Just pick someone that's listening so you don't offend them.
Would you need a coach while you're over there, do you reckon?
Yeah, probably need. Probably need a mattress. You could do it remotely.
Yeah, Yeah, leave that. No, that's that'd, that'd he's be... got a connection. He's got an internet connection. He's all right.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I reckon I'd also take my dad on the bike.
That's a good call.
Someone's got to hand you drinks and gels and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly, exactly. I did a lot of, through COVID, a lot of running with dad on the bike when I, if I was at home. So, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What about yourself, Reece? Are you keen to go to Boulder or have you got somewhere else in mind, mate?
I would have been keen to go to Boulder, but I'll try and be.
Well, he has to. Different. He's coming with me.
Yeah. Can I bring my own friends or do I have to hang out with Stacey?
No, no, you can bring your own, mate.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you get a choice of three.
I like the look of St. Moritz, Switzerland. That looks pretty. That looks pretty cool.
That's a reoccurring theme, is it?
Yeah. But I mean, that's because of a lot of people we follow, you know, and that go there for training camps and stuff. But that would be pretty cool. Who I'd take? I've got a few boys who I think will listen to this because I told them. They do. They actually already do listen to it. I'd take side Stacey, number one. would be the Daytona track club team. So that's Barky, Leithy and Justin. And mattress is online for me.
He'll be thrilled listening to this knowing
he runs off on me anyway. So
you're gonna have some hard sessions coming up, I think.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He doesn't even run with me, he runs off on me. So
yeah. Very good. We've got final one, and I think probably more for yourself, Reece. I'll give Stacey an option as well. But Reece, for yourself, mate, singlets on or off? What do you prefer?
Singlets off.
Yep.
Yep.
No, very good. Stace, do you prefer to like your t-shirt, singlets, or what do you prefer to run in when you're out doing a run?
Yeah, I'm a t-shirt kind of girl.
Yep.
Yep. I like a flowy t-shirt.
No, very good. It sort of leads us into, I hope you can stick around because we've
survived it.
We survived the hard stuff.
So yeah, maybe I didn't end the conversation halfway through it.
No, you didn't. The internet didn't drop out. Mattress will be thrilled that we asked all of those questions too. But we've got a bit of world record chat. And it's good to know your opinion on singlets and t-shirts because those that are sort of regular listeners, we've Zach has been delving into a bit of Canadian running magazine as well, probably the finest online running magazine that you can get, particularly for obscure things. Mm. I know if you're a big fan of Dodgeball, you might want to tune into ESPN The Ocho. You can get on there and you can see rock skipping, you can see Dodgeball, you can see people flipping tires. Well, if you want to know obscure running results, it's Canadian Running Magazine. And, mate, the marathon world record was attempted for most T-shirts. And I believe our friend Alex Reid, so not the man who took down the half marathon record, that's someone who lives in the UK whose name currently escapes me, but Alex had a crack at the marathon world record and he needed to break 6 hours and 22 minutes. And Zaka, Alex has come up short. He didn't get the job done. Mm.
Well, I was going to ask our guests how many T-shirts we think would have been required to get this world record. This is just
T-shirts and or weight of said T-shirts as well. What do you reckon? What do you reckon Alex is rolling with around Vancouver on the weekend just gone?
You had to wear a number of T-shirts.
Yeah.
So
putting on T-shirt after T-shirt.
If you didn't make 6 hours and whatever that record was, is
a lot.
you're talking plus, you know, plus 20, plus 50, plus 100.
Couldn't be plus. It could be more than
50.
Could be more than 50, could it? 50. They had tight T-shirts at the base layer.
Or really big ones.
They must be like extra, like whatever it is, like small, and then it just like
gets wider. The footage is pretty hard to watch. It's pretty disturbing, but ended up with 81 t-shirts on. And
I'm glad
was out there for 6 hours and 22 minutes, missed the cutoff, which was 6 hours. And he's bottled it because he was out there for too long, and it weighed 42 pounds, which is done the convert. It was like 19 kilos, like t-shirts you're running. And yeah. And
that's on top of carb loading as well, Zaka.
Did he look like he was in a sumo suit?
Yes. Oh, it is not pretty. And you can imagine it, you know, we talk about hitting the wall at 35K into a marathon. That imagine having 81 t-shirts going.
I'm gonna try and paint a picture for everyone who doesn't have the benefit of the photo in front of them. So poor Alex. Alex has rocked up. He's got a knee brace on for a start.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about chicken legs earlier before, Reese. Well, if you can imagine 19 kilos of t-shirts on over the top, poor Alex looks like he's a couple of little sticks just basically poking out the end of these t-shirts right at the bottom. The base of the t-shirts come down halfway down his thigh. And the sleeves are that long in the t-shirt that he's got on finally over the top, that it comes down just around probably about halfway up his forearm. And there is absolutely no way he's swinging his arms any more than just a little paddle out around the side. There's very little quality of movement going on whatsoever. And that, yeah, I just would hate to think how the body would respond carrying an extra 19 kilos of cotton. You know, and in fairness, he's lucky it wasn't wet. I mean, imagine like those 19 kilos, because he'd be sweating. He'd be absolutely cooking under those. But yeah, there's if it started raining, which I think there have been some damp marathons over the last few weeks. But yeah, fortunately, Alex avoided that. But no, unfortunately, he might have avoided the rain, but he's also avoided the record books. So anyway, better luck next time.
Hey,
for Alex,
what is he wearing?
Hard to tell, but
please tell me he's got a pair of super shoes.
So you can spot the podiatrist going straight for the shoes.
Yeah, trying to, you know, be economical on the feet, but have about 20 kilos up top.
Imagine it, just him rolling a set of alpha flies being a bit unstable. I reckon he'd just topple over. There's no way. There's no way he'd be able to get it done.
He'd burst the bubble.
Yeah. What about at the other end of the spectrum, Chriso, which was also on the lovely Canadian running website, was we had our question earlier about tops on, tops off, and you were a big tops off man, Reese. How cold can you go tops off? And follow up question to that is, if you were to run a half marathon, how, like, what degree do you reckon you could go down to and have the tops off on?
I wouldn't take the top off for anything less than 20-25, like in training. But if it was a record, we're talking how cold? Yeah.
How low can you go, mate? Limbo style. What are we thinking?
Well, I ran in Bright with a t-shirt on the other morning. It was like 3 degrees, and I thought my arms were going to snap off. So I wouldn't be going below 3 degrees.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that record's pretty safe, isn't it, Chris?
I think. It is. So here we go, mate. So in the winter of 2021, Ukrainian-American Vladimir Aslan reached the melting point of his day trading job. I love the puns they throw in these articles. And he just found running in cold weather made a good distraction from the sorrows of his job. Anyway, he got addicted to it, and a year and a half later, he became the first person to run a shirtless half marathon, not in Bright, but across northern Greenland. Now, for those playing at home, thinking, Greenland, eh? Must be relatively cold if you've made the world record books. Vladimir's got out there and he's gone from start to finish at a frosty minus 18 degrees Celsius. It must be said that there's a photo of him. He does not look like he's having a good day. It might be sort of similar to the face you had on a Bendigo, mate, when you're rolling the 10K, but Vladimir has gone completely topless, but he does look to have a nice beanie on. He's gone with just the essentials. He's got a great beanie, which is keeping the ears warm. But you might be wondering why anyone would do that, and I know I certainly am. But
his idea to subject himself to sub-zero temperatures came from his winter running in New York Central Park. Vladimir says that it always just felt better whenever I dressed lighter on the coldest days. No jacket, no t-shirt, just shorts and running shoes. He understood that it had an impact on his mind. He just felt rejuvenated. It made him feel alive and clear. I know it would have made me feel something, probably frostbitten or locked up, because if anyone saw me running topless, it's very unimpressive for a start. But I don't get it. You'll find this hard to believe, but most of the people around him considered Usland's approach to training abnormal. But he knew it worked for him and what he was trying to accomplish. So he goes on to talk about how he became interested in human psychology and all that sort of stuff. But who would have thought? Most people around him thought it was abnormal. Rude.
He was doing...
obviously not runners.
No. So he's running in the middle of New York City just in winter, wearing the running shoes and shorts, and then going in for 1 hour cold plunges afterward. Yeah, I don't know. There's not much fact checking going on in Canadian running magazine, but that sounds very extreme that he can go in for a cold plunge for an hour.
Zachary, are you a fan of an ice bath?
I used to be.
Yeah.
I used to take them a lot. My old coach used to get me to do about 3 a week. And not as much of a fan of them anymore. When I was training a lot harder, I think I appreciated them, but now I couldn't get in them anymore.
I'm a bit soft. I know you have a fondness of layers when you go out to go out for a run, particularly in the colder months of the year.
Oh yeah.
So I don't think either of us are relating all that well to Vladimir and his exploits. And yeah. Also, I know, 3 degrees is pretty nippy, mate. When it gets below sort of 6 or 7, I'm arm sleeves, gloves, and below 3 degrees, mate, I would have had the beanie at bright. It would have been out and about. Don't worry about that. But, yeah,
Quinoc, Greenland is where it was. The most northern settled towns in the world, has a population of 646. An average temperature in February 2023 was -23. So, probably not the place to be going for a training camp.
should have picked there.
Yeah.
On the flip side, though, for both of you, if you were over there, another chance for you both to get on the podium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Strava segments to be taken there, I think.
That record's, we're closer to that record than we are the 2 hour mark. Maybe I could do -18.
Lovely. Thanks for indulging us in joining your world record chat. But I guess in summary, just come jumping on and hearing about your running journey because it's exciting following it. And Mattress is he's always telling us that you guys would be great guests, and we've been able to finally snag you. So it's been really fun, and we really appreciate you. You're jumping on the podcast.
Pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, guys. It's been great chatting with you guys. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, mate.